So Moshe, Hashem tells the people to send Meraglim. Okay? What is Hashem indicating when he's telling them to spy out the land? So perhaps they understood a little bit like what Lior is saying. They understood that until now, it was all Hashem. Hashem took us out of Egypt, Hashem split the sea, ten plagues, v'chule v'chule, all 40 years of desert, all that is great. But they recognize that now there's going to be a transition period, that the goal is actually to come to Eretz Yisrael. And since the goal is to come to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to have to fight the war themselves. And that's why Hashem's sending them Meraglim, because this war is their fight. God, you know, gave them training wheels. He fought for them with the Egyptians. But now they're going to actually have to fight their enemies. And that's why they have to do this Ishtadlis. It's very good that before God is taking care of them, but they think there's going to be a transition. They think there's going to be a change. And that also explains, maybe, why they're so scared, why they're so nervous. What are they nervous about? They think that Hashem is not going to do miracles for them anymore, that now they have to live in the world of Teva, in the world of nature. And that's why they get so scared. If that's really why they got scared, then we have to ask another question, which is, okay, so why were they wrong? Why is God so mad at them? He's really mad at them. Well, how were they supposed to know any better? So I think maybe the answer is because they did have a hint, and it's the story of the Amalek. The war against Amalek, which there are four connections, parallels in the Torah, between the war against Amalek and the war against, and the Meraglim. Okay? So let's go through it. One, it says, Shlach lecha anashim. Send for you anashim. What's the lashon of the Torah when Moshe is told to war against the Amalekites? It says, Bachar lecha anashim. Choose for yourself a few people. Three people, the same language of lecha anashim. Okay? Second link, what was the mission of the Meraglim, as we've already mentioned? Where were they going? They're going to do war. What was the mission of them against the Amalekites? To make war. Third link, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu is mechazik, a particular one of the tribes before they go to see the Meraglim. What's his name? No, almost. Yeshua. He's mechazik Yeshua. Was Yeshua involved in the war against Amalek?
Yep.
Yeshua is the leader of the war against Amalek. So that's another amazing connection. And the obvious one is the war is against Amalek. Does Amalek appear in the war of the Meraglim? Yes. They say they're scared of the Amalekites. They seemingly randomly point out, what about the Amalekites? Right? You mentioned it before. So what? What's the idea? The idea is that if they really would have been paying attention in the war against the Amalekites, then they never would have had the struggles of the Meraglim. Because what happened in the war against the Amalekites? We had to fight our enemies. But did we really have to fight our enemies? How did we actually win the war? What really gave them their success? Moshe's hands raised to the heavens. The symbolism, Garn Rosh Hashanah says. So if Moshe's hands are raised to the heavens, so why did they have to fight in the first place? Why didn't Moshe just do a cool trick and smite them down like in Egypt? Because this is a transition. This is saying you're going to have to fight the war, but remember that it's really Hashem. And that's the hands raised to the heavens. When Moshe raised his hands, they won, and when he went down, they lost.
Why? Because when they looked up, Hashem Hashiach.
Exactly. When we realize that it's all Hashem, then we have salvation. As soon as we start, thinking it's all us, so then it all falls apart. So that's what the Torah is subtly, so beautifully alluding to when it's linking up the Meraglim to Amalek. It's saying, yes, Am Yisrael, you are going to have to do Ishtadlis. Now you're going to go to the world. Now you're going to have to plant. Now you're even going to have to fight. But I gave you a hint already that when you're fighting, I'm really fighting for you. And that's the story of Amalek. And they didn't get the hint. They didn't understand what Hashem was trying to teach them. He's trying to tell them that even when you're doing your status, I'm right there supporting you. Right? Which is such a beautiful message, because that's exactly the struggle of our lives. Where Hashem does not generally megala himself in such an open way. Sometimes, usually not. But that's exactly the mission. Then we can realize that's really Hashem the whole time. And as soon as we stop putting our hands up to the heavens, we, boom, everything starts crashing down. But that was the mistake of the Meraglim. And that's the lesson that we're supposed to learn, is to constantly reiterate when any little thing, good or bad, happens, to remind ourselves that it's really Hashem running the show, even though it looks like, I'll tell you a good story that I'm in a fundraising headspace now. So I was listening to a good podcast. There was a guy, and he was doing his first fundraising event for his yeshiva. So he got advice. How do you raise money? Whenever you're talking to a person, don't talk to the person. Only talk to Hashem. Pretend like you're asking him for money, but really you're asking Hashem for money. And he did that, and he's tremendously successful. And then he had this guy he went to him, he's a big donor, and it was very, very closely connected to a particular family in the yeshiva. And he thought he had it in, he didn't dive, and he was just like, ace in the hole. And he went there, and he got like nothing, like, you know, $20. So mamash, it's a story of our lives. As soon as we stop raising up our hands to Shemayim, whether we see it or not, it all comes crashing down. But when we recognize, even when I'm doing my Shtadlis, that it's all Kodesh Baruch Hu, so then we see the